with jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all.
Jerry Bader Show, 10:07, Amy Grant. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Jason's classic Christmas cut on a Monday. All right. The news release issued yesterday from the office of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Senator Johnson will support the Ryan Murray budget deal. On Sunday, Senator Ron Johnson released the following. Funding the federal government through successive continuing resolutions is a bad idea that only results in greater inefficiencies, waste, and economic uncertainty. It is a practice that should end. The budget deal struck by Paul Ryan and Patty Murray is no grand bargain, but I credit Paul with understanding that a grand bargain is not possible at this point in time. This is a limited agreement that prevents government shutdowns through fiscal year 2015 that would hurt economic growth and new job creation. It also provides executive agencies and congressional committees the opportunity to prioritize spending and eliminate duplicative programs, which is long overdue. Although I disagree with the number of provisions in the bill, on balance, the good outweighs the bad. As long as the Senate does nothing to worsen the bill, I intend to support it. Joining us now to discuss that decision is Senator Johnson. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you doing?
Good. I know that your staff was going to share it with you. I did a blog entry. What I said is, if you say the good outweighs the bad, in a lot of ways, yes. I'm not so sure I agree with that in policy, but where I do agree with you is Republicans have one half of one-third of the lever of government right now, and anything that Patty Murray agreed to isn't something that conservatives were going to like. But what you do say in this release, you put a lot of emphasis on, look, we have to stop these continuing resolutions and the loom of a shutdown.
Of course, that's the good I'm talking about. Yeah. Jerry, if you take a look at how far the sides really are apart, for example, the Ryan budget, the House budget, would actually reduce spending by about, or you know, limit the growth of spending by about $4 trillion over the next 10 years. The Senate budget, Patty Murray's budget, actually increases spending by $1 trillion. So you're $5 trillion apart. And so, you know, I was emphasizing the impact on our economy, the impact, you know, quite honestly, psychologically, on global creditors that are looking at the U.S. Let me just throw out a number for you. If, because of uncertainty, interest rates the federal government pays on its debt were just to increase by 0.25%, in other words, go from the 1.5% that it's at right now to 1.75%, that would cost the federal government $44 billion in added interest expense per year. And that's what this deal is in the short term increasing discretionary spending by. So my point being is economic growth is really the primary component of the solution. All this uncertainty, you know, these continuing resolutions that really prevent agencies from, you know, what's money they spend from spending it as efficiently, as effectively as we can, you know, that uncertainty can create far more spending from a standpoint of increasing interest rates by not providing the kind of certainty we really should try and provide to our economy.
When you speak of uncertainty,
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does to me, and we'll get to your critics here in a minute. Talking with Senator Johnson, you talk about uncertainty. This doesn't, however, address the looming debt ceiling issue.
I understand that, and quite honestly, that's where we are on more solid ground. The American people actually support our efforts to provide some sort of fiscal discipline if we're going to increase the debt burden on our kids and grandkids. The American people don't support government shutdowns. They simply don't. And by the way, and for good reason, because of the type of economic harm, the economic uncertainty that goes along with those government shutdowns. So that's why, you know, from my standpoint, the good about this thing is it provides some level of certainty. It takes government shutdown off the table through fiscal year 2015. I think that's a good thing. If you need another number to throw in there in terms of why economic growth is really the solution to our long-term debt deficit, is from 2009 through 2013, we've increased revenue to the federal government by $669 billion per year. There were no tax increases in there. That was just through the meager economic growth that we've achieved. So that's why we need to focus our attention on how do we grow our economy? How do we incentivize people to risk their capital, invest in businesses, and create jobs. That's the real solution to the problem.
Talking with Senator Ron Johnson, I directed your staff to my Facebook page where I posted the blog item, and you're getting beat up pretty good. What do you say to conservatives who say you are betraying your conservative principles by voting for this?
Well, first of all, I refer to that song you start out the program with, is Be of Good Cheer. The point I'm trying to make is by the high level of uncertainty that has been created by all this deficit spending, I mean, I get that. We don't want it. The federal government does enough harm to our economy without heaping on top of that additional uncertainty by continuing to go from crisis to crisis. I understand these moments where we're trying to fund the government or increase the debt ceiling. They are moments that actually force action. But when you have President Obama in the White House and Harry Reid in the Senate, a man who runs the Senate and hasn't passed an appropriation bill in 2 years, you understand what we're up against when we only control the House. So again, take a look at what is actually achievable. You know, I'm pretty well grounded in reality, and the reality of the situation is, you know, we were not able to defund Obamacare under the last thing, and that government shutdown, whether economically or politically, was not good for conservatives. So we want to take the government shutdown off the table. You know, I'm not overselling this agreement. This is not what Paul Ryan. This is not his solution. It's not my solution. It's far from it. But again, you take a look at the overall impact of trying to return at least a little certainty to your economy, and I think that is, you know, that's why I decided to voice my support early so we can get this thing passed, get it behind us, so we can really start focusing from a standpoint of conservatism to continue to point out to the American people what a disaster the health care law is going to be as it's being implemented. And now we actually have real Americans, real Wisconsinites, being dramatically harmed by this health care law. That's where we need to focus our attention so we can get that law repealed, and we can start limiting the damage of the health care law.
Okay, you just said the word. We're talking with Senator Johnson, repealed. In fact, the Wall Street Journal NBC News poll of last week shows Obamacare is underwater with the uninsured. It is now less popular than it is popular with those it was supposed to help, those who don't have insurance. And this is where I completely agree with you, Senator, is this should be the focus of everything, not just because it's good politics, because it's good policy. When you look at these numbers, isn't full repeal more possible now than it has ever been?
It is, but let me caution everybody in terms of full repeal. We can repeal the law, but it exists now. If this isn't the same as, you know, 3 years ago, if we could have repealed it where it was just a piece of paper or, quite honestly, 1,600 pages growing to over 20,000 pages of paper. Now the law exists. Now these exchanges are set up. Now people are actually signing up, and they're getting their health insurance through these exchanges. So we can and should talk about repeal, but you're going to have to transition from what exists today into more free market reform. So this isn't about waving a magic wand and just having the thing go away. We're going to have to actually deal with the reality of the situation that Obamacare now exists. It's already dramatically harmed our structure of our health care system, of our insurance system. We're going to have to repair that damage. We're going to have to look at this with our eyes wide open and understand that we're going to have to start working with what exists.
Want to double back on the budget deal. One of the things that, probably the thing, that has the conservative base, the Tea Party base, most upset is they consider the sequester cuts the last lever, the last leverage that conservatives had. And that, it for the most part, is given up, you know, for in exchange for down the road. What's your response to people who say that, look, you gave up the one thing we didn't expect you to give up?
Yeah, I didn't like giving that up, but, you know, I didn't like it at all. I'm sure nor did Paul Ryan. But the fact of the matter is, the political reality is we didn't have the votes in the House. They were, you know, reports 40 to 50 votes short from just passing a clean, continuing resolution at those sequester levels. So you're giving up about $63 billion over 2 years. You know, basically plussing up defense, which, by the way, I'm kind of concerned about readiness aspects of defense. So you're giving that up. But, you know, Paul makes a good point, and it is true. You're giving them up for mandatory savings. Those are changed in the law. And of course, we're finding that, you know, it's very difficult to change mandatory law. That's why we couldn't define Obamacare. It wasn't just a matter of not passing a piece of legislation. You actually had to pass a law to make those changes. So this is locking in these savings. Whether you agree or disagree with how it's been done, that's a different issue. But these are mandatory savings that are in law, and that's going to be difficult to overturn. So this isn't just a promise of future savings. This stuff's in law, and I think it's, you know, we're kind of seeing how these laws, the Budget Control Act, it actually established real caps. It's been pretty difficult for anybody to change. Now we're changing for a full 2 years, but then we go right back to those Budget Control Act caps and have to live within those.
All right. Senator Ron Johnson, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too, and Merry Christmas, by the way. All right. You heard what he had to say. In 5 minutes, I will open the lines. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. It's 1017.
Jerry Bader Show.